This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Our first guest today is going to be the assistant, or actually I should give him, call him by his proper title, Associate Head Coach Dwayne Stevens is going to talk MSU basketball with us right here on AM 870. The basketball season starts tonight with an exhibition game, and we'll get Dwayne's take on the upcoming season and with the new basketball team, because yes, they are relatively new. Got a lot of new players, four new freshmen in, and so they've got a lot of new players. So we'll talk with him and see how this team is coming together this afternoon. So we'll talk with him shortly, but you can get on the line or you can talk with us, and we'll tell you a little bit more about that. Also, we're going to be talking with the head coach of the soccer team, Damon Rensing, and we'll talk soccer today as well. So head coach and one of the assistant coaches right here on AM 870 WKAR. So just be with us. We want you to be with us each and every day from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. Our signal is heard anywhere in the state, so give us a call, whether you're in Detroit, whether you're in Jackson or Grand Rapids. You can hear us just about everywhere in the state of Michigan. Give us a call right now on 355-9527 or toll-free 877-9527-870. And our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. So glad to hear from you today and glad to talk to some of our coaches out there and find out what they're thinking about and how their season, at least the soccer coach, how his season is going. He's 8-7-1 right now, 4-4-1 overall. And this will be, of course, the first game of the exhibition season for MSU basketball coach Dwayne Stevens. So we'll hear from him just coming up shortly. I know he's always on the phone. He almost has a phone attached to his ear, that's for sure. So we'll talk with him shortly. But when you look at the Spartans, and the Spartans have, as far as football, they've got three games left. The season has went relatively fast, that's for sure. And three games left in the Spartan football season, and they're almost ready to say that they're bowl eligible. Not quite yet. Just got to win one game out of the last three to be bowl eligible. So we'll see that when that comes up, and we'll talk about that. The Tigers have signed Jim Leland for another year, and Jim will be there. He'll be back there for next year. So another year of Jim Leland. And for all of you who don't like Leland, I know that's going to drive you crazy with another year, because you don't like the way he manages. So that's something you're going to have to put up with for one more year. It looks like the whole coaching staff and everyone will be back next year. So that's a little bit about the Tigers and how they're doing now. The Spartan football team, the Detroit Lions football team, they've got certainly got some challenges coming up. Finish off Seattle. They've got some certain challenges coming up, and they got Jacksonville is the next one coming up. Well, right now, let's turn to our good friend, the associate head coach of Michigan State, Dwayne Stevens. DJ, how you doing, buddy?
I'm great. How are you?
Okay. Yeah, just wanted to talk to you. The first game of the season tonight. Now, I know this probably doesn't happen, but do you ever get nervous at all?
Yeah, I think you get nervous for every game, no matter who you're playing, because you put in the work and you want your team to go out there and do a good job. And, you know, there are some questions on, you know, how the freshmen will perform their first time out. And every team's a new team, so I think there's always going to be that little nervousness in you.
Yes, now, you like you mentioned, the freshmen, you've got four new freshmen. How have they been practicing? Are you pretty much sort of confident that they're going to do well this year?
Yeah, well, you know, Kenny's out, and the other three, Gary Harris, has been pretty good. He's he's done a heck of a job, you know, learning and adjusting to how we play. And I think all three of those guys, Valentine and Costello as well, have done a good job of kind of adjusting and learning the system and playing within the system. So I'd expect those guys to get some time, no question, no doubt about it. And I think all those guys have a chance to be really good players for Michigan State.
Who do you look at being one of the leading scorer this year? I know Derek Nix, Adrian Payne, and the point guard, our point guard there. Who do you look to be the leading scorers this year?
You know what? I think this is one of those teams where you're going to have to guard about five or six guys every night, because I think those guys will all have a chance to have big nights. You know, it just depends on whose night it is. I think, though, you know, Keith will probably be pretty consistent. We're hoping we'll have at least four double-digit scorers. I can see us potentially having five. This team reminds me a lot of our 2005 team. We had a lot of guys that could score the ball and, you know, have four or five guys averaging between 9 and 15 points a game.
Yeah, that's one thing I was going to ask you about. Is this maybe one of the deepest teams you've had in a long time? It seems like you're just going to have you'll be able to go to the bench a lot if somebody's struggling or something. You've got a lot of players this year.
I think that's a bonus for us, because one thing, our practices have been as competitive as they've ever been since I've been here. And, you know, when you hear Mateen come in and he'll watch and he say, man, this reminds me of some of my teams. You know, I think there's no question that we have that depth and that it helps you out in practice, because it's so competitive. I think one of the things that coaches has told the guys is that he's going to sub and play guys based on, their effort and how hard they're going. So I think the guys have kind of gotten the message, and hopefully they'll go out there and leave it all out on the floor when they're out there.
Yes, that would certainly be a positive thing for the Spartans. When you look at this team overall, and like I say, you've had several teams that had a lot of depth, but it seems like this one, you've got a lot of quality depth. You've got so many good players. Does that change any way your whole philosophy of thinking when you have so many good players at your disposal?
I don't think it changes our philosophy. I think we're going to continue to do what Michigan State teams do. I think one of the things that you will see is that hopefully we'll be running more, and we may, pick up and apply a little more pressure on the defensive end. But in terms of what we do, we're going to play Michigan State basketball. I think Coach Izzo only knows how to do it one way, from the standpoint that his teams are going to give a lot of effort. They're going to play hard. They're going to play tough. And they're going to rebound and get up and down the floor. So from that standpoint, I think you'll see what you're used to seeing from Michigan State teams.
Now, when you look at the team, like your first big game, you're going over to Germany in about a week and a half soon. So when you look at games and when you start the season, and you started the last few years against some very good teams and very tough opponents, How does that set up the rest of the season or the rest of the year when you start out with so many quality opponents? What is that? Will that give you a good gauge of how the team is or where the team is at?
I think it takes a little longer than a week to figure out where you're at, but it doesn't hurt to go up against teams with a lot of talent. And, those teams will be in the same situation where it's early on for them and they're still trying to figure out their team a little bit. And I think the better the opponent, the better gauge you get in terms of seeing where you're at. And I think more so than anything, we'll get a chance to see where our guy's at and make adjustments either way.
Yes, and when you see the guys after this first game, and this will – You wouldn't. I know. Of course, you won't have a permanent evaluation. I know you just look at it as this one game, as an exhibition game. But what do you expect to see from the guys? A lot of scoring, or a very good defense, or how would you say in a first game like this? What would you expect from an exhibition game? I know everybody expects you to win it. So aside from that, but what do you want to see in the game?
I think we want to see some carryover from our practice like I said, our practice have been extremely competitive. So you'd like to get some carryover and see the game be the same way. You know, guys going hard, guys making plays, sharing the ball with one another, getting up and down the floor and giving maximum effort. That's the things we're looking for.
Yes, I know when the few practices that I've been over and seen, your guys really seem to share the ball well. I think that's going to be a big asset when you have everybody that's willing to share the ball.
No question. I think we have a very unselfish team, and I think that kind of lends to the fact that we will have a chance to have four or five guys maybe be double-digit scorers because, you know, one guy's not getting all the shots. You see some teams that where the majority of the shots are dominated by a couple people. I think we have a team where we can spread the wealth, and you'll see different guys leading us in scoring and attempts on different nights.
And of course, I expect this is going to be another very good rebounding team. From what I've seen in practice, you guys really get after the rebounds.
Yeah, you know, I think that's the one area, to be honest with you, that we feel like we got to continue to improve upon. We're sharing the ball. We're playing pretty hard defensively. We are going to be missing, you know, Draymond, who you know, was getting 10 rebounds a game. And I think that's something that we're going to miss a little bit, and we're going to have to figure out who's going to step up and get us those rebounds that we need to get.
Yes, that'll be a challenge, that's for sure. When you lose a guy like Draymond, who was the captain of the team and the best player on the team, that leaves a huge hole to fill, doesn't it?
It does, but you know what? We're excited. There's a new team, and as much as we love Draymond and Austin and Anthony Iani, you know, new guys have to step up, and now it's someone else's turn to fill that void. Hopefully we'll get several guys stepping out, not just one or two.
Yeah.
That would be ideal for us.
Yes. Now, what do you expect from Nixon, his final year? He's the lone senior on the team. What do you expect from him this year?
You know, we want to see Nix continue to score the ball down low. He does have a knack for being able to score around the basket. I think we'd love to see him improve as a rebounder. And then improve, you know, at the free throw line because he's going to get fouled. I think he'll be one of the tougher covers, definitely in the Big Ten when it comes to post players because he has that big body and he can get out there and score and do some things. And he can pass it out of double teams and make some plays from that standpoint as well. So we're excited about Nix having a big year. He's got himself into great shape, and he's the captain of our team, and we'd like to see him go out on a great note.
Yes, when you look at AP, you know, from seeing all the summer, he was working a lot on the perimeter this year. Do you expect him to work at the perimeter a lot, or be primarily the inside player he's been most the first 2 years?
Well, I think he can be an inside-out threat. He's a very good shooter from the perimeter. He doesn't make decisions like a Draymond did, but there's no question that he can step out and knock down shots. I think one of the things when we talk to some of these NBA guys coming in, it's funny, they're all interested in guys knowing who they are and knowing what they do best. And, you know, I think that's where AP has to realize that, you know what, he's an athlete that can run the floor, rebound, score around the basket, and if he knocks down jumpers here and there, then that's a bonus.
Okay. Hey, DJ, I want to thank you for joining me. Always a pleasure talking with you. I know it's a long season, so we'll be talking a few more times this year, but it's good talking with you and getting a little insight on this first game.
All right, Earl. Thanks, man.
Okay, thank you. We'll talk to you later, buddy. Yep. Bye-bye. And that's Dwayne Stevens, associate head coach of Michigan State's basketball team. We'll hear from Dwayne from time to time during the year, and we'll also hear from the other coaches, and of course we'll hear from Coach Izzo sometime during the year. It's a long basketball season just getting started, so it'll be nice to hear from him. The time now, 20 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
There's talk And then there's talk that matters. Tune into Talk of the Nation and hear experienced voices, informed views, and smart calls. We'll tackle the day's top stories and discuss the most interesting topics, the issues that affect you. I'm Neil Conan. Join us for the next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
I'm Scott Pohl. Here's the weather. Rain and snow likely with a high of 40. Winds gusting to 35 miles an hour. A wind advisory until 8 p.m. Tonight, windy with rain and a low of 35. Tomorrow's high 45, cloudy and a good chance of rain. Thursday, the high 48, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain.
And give us a call. Our lines are open at 355-9527 or toll-free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Spread the word around. Tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on AM 870 WKAR. East Lansing. And so we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on WKAR East Lansing. It's always good to hear from our good friends out there in radio land. So just give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Well, there's three football games left. And as you know, they've got a big one this week. The 10th game of the year against Nebraska. Nebraska 6-2-1, 3-1 in the Big Ten against the Spartans, who are 5-4 and 2-3 in the Big Ten. So if you want to talk a little Spartan football, you can do that. But that's where the Spartans are. They've lost a lot of close games, as you know, a lot of close games this year. No secret there. I was just looking down the scores. I mean, won at Wisconsin 16-13, lost to University of Michigan 12-10, lost to Iowa 19-16, then won 31-27. That's probably the second biggest win of the year, winning, and then lost another 17-16 loss to Ohio State, 23-7 win over Eastern Michigan. 20-3 loss to Notre Dame. Notre Dame played a very strong game. A win over Central Michigan, 41-7, and it really wasn't decided. The game was in doubt until the last minutes, the last seconds of the last quarter. And then the first game, 17-13. So Michigan State has been involved in a lot of close football games this year, and it's just one of those years. You know, a lot of times, when a lot of new players, you're in a lot of new players there, and then that's the question. So, you know, how good is a team when they're trying to assemble a lot of new players into the group and put them into the, you know, you just can't run the same old plays that you run last year. You got new players, new team, new style, so you have to integrate a lot of new players, a lot of new concepts in to the game that you have to see, that you have to go well. Well, let's see. We've got someone on the line. Let's go to the phones. Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, Earl, this is Don from Lansing.
Hey, Don.
We were having a discussion.
Mm-hmm.
What makes more money, pro football or pro baseball for the owners?
They have different owners for each one, but I would have to say pro football would make more money because in baseball you don't have the agreement that you have, you know, in football, you know, basically it's socialism because they share all the money equally among all the teams. So they make a lot of money. Even the poor owners make money in football. You know, the saying is you've made at least $1 million before the season even starts just from the TV money. So you make a lot more. And in baseball, you can still lose money. I mean, they don't have that collective bargaining agreement where they share the owners share equally in the take. So,
but they do have 162 games in the tag. entire stadium's got over 40,000 people almost every game, so they got to be making money in Detroit.
Yeah, they are. That is true. They are making money in Detroit. That we can't say that about all the teams, but in Detroit, yes, they are making money, especially in the last few years. They have to draw close to 3 million people to make some money. So actually, if you draw over 2 million, you should be making a profit.
I got a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
You may not like this, but when the football players are interviewed or the basketball players, I think Earl Robinson ought to have a course in how to be interviewed. I heard a few interviews where the guy being interviewed said, you know, we played hard, you know, we should have done this, you know what I mean?
And yep.
Somebody ought to give them a course on how to present themselves at an interview so they would sound, you know, upbeat and bright and capable. And what do you think?
Well, you know, the thing is, you want people to speak naturally as they speak. I don't know. Coaching might change the way they present themselves, or they'll think about what they're going to say before they say it. Sometimes that's good. Some people, you don't mind doing that. But the other way, I think it's probably better that they're spontaneous.
You're right, but I hear so many you know.
Yeah, I hear a lot of them, too.
15 of them in about 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's the way it goes. But
well,
yeah.
I was a communication arts major in college, and you'd be a good person to teach that course because you don't say you know.
No, it's something you think, you know, when you talk one way all the time, you know, you don't think that they're doing it like that. But then when you go back and you listen, say, boy, that's the way a lot of you knows, but it sounds so natural. You know, when they say it, it sounds so natural.
But some of the players do speak very well.
They do.
Many of them do. It's
like our society. Some are good and some aren't.
Well, you like the natural presentation of the players. Okay, yeah. I'll buy that.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, Don. Let's go to the phone to our guest now. We've got Damon Rensing, the head coach of the Michigan State soccer team. Damon, how you doing, buddy?
Good, Earl. How you doing?
Okay. It's good to see you this afternoon, a little bit earlier today. Hadn't seen you and talked to you. You've had a good season this year, 8-7-1 overall, and a lot of improvement down the stretch.
Yeah, you know, there's been a couple things. We've had some talented young freshmen that are starting to kind of find their way. And also, I don't know if I take a page out of Coach Izzo's books, but we played a really, really tough non-conference schedule of three or four teams in the top 10 in the country, and so that four of those seven losses are due to some of the best teams in the country.
Yes. Now, how do you measure yourself off those teams when you play teams that are so good? How do you measure yourself, or what are you looking for when you're playing one of the top ranked teams?
Well, you know, in soccer can be a little deceiving because, you know, it comes down to usually one or two goals. So you could lose 1-0 and really, really get outplayed, or lose like we lost at Notre Dame 2-0 and felt like we were really, really as good as they were on the day. So we just see how long we can have the ball, you know, our possession, and how many chances we create in those games. And if we're creating, like against Notre Dame, we created, you know, as many dangerous chances as they did with one of the top teams. They just had a couple shots that went in. We said, hey, we're right there, so it's just a matter of us to get the ball to bounce our way.
When you look at how college soccer is played, how do you see how college soccer is played as opposed to when you see the guys who are in the pros, but many of them have had 3 or 4 years of experience. Some of them haven't had that many. So how do you look at that, the pro game and the college game?
Well, it's probably not so much different than high school to college, and the fact that when you go from that jump, you know, everybody's a little stronger, a little faster, but they're a little smarter. They're more comfortable on the ball with their decision-making. Everything's just the speed of play. And so there's only a few guys that can make that jump from maybe high school to Big Ten soccer. And certainly you look at Big Ten soccer to the pros, there's a few guys can do that. And the athleticism in the MLS is unbelievable. And how comfortable they are on the ball. I went down a couple weeks ago and watched the Columbus Crew train, and even some of their weaker players were as good on the ball as some of our strongest players, you know.
Mm-hmm. How would you classify your strongest players this year?
Well, one of our guys is a redshirt junior. He sat out last year because he had a fractured cheekbone. But Kevin Cope is a junior and center back defender, and he's one of the top defenders in the Big Ten and possibly the country. He's the total package. He's got good size. Our defenders need to be good leaders and communicate, and he certainly does that. And he's a winner. He's one of those kids, if I could coach for the next 10 years, I'd be happy to do it. And on top of that, he's a 3-7 finance major, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And when you look at the games, you say you'll win either, like, say, for example, 2-1, or you lose 2-1. You play a lot of close games in soccer. Is it hard to figure out how good your team is with so many close games, and somebody might be on the winning side, somebody might be on the losing side?
Yeah, I think it takes a little longer to figure out, Earl. And what I mean by that is, you know, early in the year you might lose a game or two close and you say, oh, well, we're unlucky, or, you know, we just missed a chance, or maybe the referee didn't make a call. But if you start losing a handful of those, and we were earlier, then I think you can't just say we're unlucky. You know, we've got to be better on some things. And usually what it comes down to is the two-thirds of the field, meaning our defensive third, we probably got to be a little bit better in keeping the ball out of the net. And in the offensive third, you've got to be a little bit better scoring the ball and a little more dangerous.
Do you have to do a lot of weightlifting? We know a lot of basketball, football players, they're always in the weight room. How much are you in the weight room during the season and before the season?
Rarely during the season. We have Tim Wakeham, we call him Red, does a great job with our Olympic sports, and his one of his assistants, Brandon's been with us, and we do a lot of flexibility, a lot of stretching, and a lot of just core and manual resistance stuff, just to get the guys keeping them strong and flexible, because we just do so much work, and stress is put on our leg muscles that what we find is just flexibility is so important with the guys. And a lot of our young guys, when they come from high school, they kind of have this invincible physical feel about them, where they haven't had to stretch and do the proper things because they're always the most gifted kids on the team. And when they get to the rigors of college soccer, they certainly need to learn those things about being a pro and being taking care of their bodies.
Okay. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. We're talking with head coach Damon Rensing of the MSU soccer team. Give us a call at 355-9527 or toll-free 877-9527-870. And our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. And Damon, when you said that, when you look at every game differently, or you know, you wait for you get a core games together before you decide, well, our team is this way, or our team is this good, or this some things we need to get better at. When you look at a team overall, especially when you get near the end of the season, do you look back and say, gee, we should have done these things better? And then you have to look at, can the players actually do what you need them to do?
Yeah, we certainly do that. And I think that's why we play some tough teams early on, to let us figure out where we stand and what we really need to work on. If you play some easier games and you win them 2-3-0, and you kind of say, oh, we're good, and then you get to the tough Big Ten schedule, and if you're not handling things, it might take too long to figure out. So I think that's why you're seeing us do well in the Big Ten, is because we played several teams that are similar to those teams. And while we didn't get the results early on, it prepared us, and we kept setting the bar higher. Hey, we're not good enough right now. We've got to work to get it. And that's why we'd go back to training, and credit to our guys. They've really done a good job of just trying to keep improving. And I think now, towards the end of the season, they're starting to see their work pay off.
How good is the Big Ten this year?
It'll be one of the top four conferences in the country. Usually it's one of the top one or two, so it's a little off. Indiana's in the top 10, top 20 in the country, and we were fortunate enough to beat them at home last Sunday. Certainly there'll be Penn State, ourselves, Northwestern will be in the hunt for an at-large bid, but I don't know if any of us are a guarantee.
That is interesting. Hopefully you get in the tournament. I know that's what every team shoots for, so if you might be able to get in. And of course, you can always do something when you get in, can't you?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, in men's Division I soccer, only 48 teams out of 205 make the NCAA tournament. There's only 26 at-large bids, so, you know, there's no givens any year. I think anytime you get there, it's a privilege, and you never know when you're going to be back. But at the same time, when you get in, you think anything can happen. And it's soccer, and if you play well and get on a little run, you can go pretty far in that tournament.
Yes, because it's sometimes when I talk with my friends around, they say it's very difficult to figure out who's going to win in the tournament and how good they are. As I say, that's one of those things that it's just a hard. It's hard to choose, isn't it?
It really is. It really is hard to choose, and you know, just like in a lot of the other things, the basketball, I always hear coaches will tell you know, sometimes it just comes down to matchups, and you just match up better with certain teams than other teams. And if the matchups fall into your place for that NCAA tournament or Big Ten tournament, then you got a chance to make a little run.
Yes, I know. Soccer is just like every other sport. Every other sport that relies on a great deal of speed if you're going to be successful. How good are your players? How much speed do you have on your team?
I think we've got a pretty good amount of pretty good what I call team speed. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got one kid who's Tim Kreutz is extremely fast, but and the other thing with soccer is how fast are you when you're running with the ball, not just without it. So, well, we've got I'd say we're a pretty athletic team. We've got good size, and certainly our team speed is I would say above average.
And that's always a plus to have because it just seems like everybody in every sport, you know, when I'm talking to all the different coaches, everybody wants more speed. I assume you have no exception to that. You want to get more speed as well.
Absolutely.
and that's the thing that's the challenge of sports is recruiting better players. Now, have you noticed a growth in the soccer in the state of Michigan? It seems like soccer is one of the sports that is growing. As far as students becoming more students involved, you know, it hasn't overtaken football yet, but it's getting close to it.
Yeah, no, soccer is obviously a really popular sport in the youth. And, you know, in just in general, when I look at the top players in the state of Michigan, I would say Michigan's a top 10 state for youth soccer as far as how the talent that they put out on an annual basis. And maybe sometimes they're closer to 5 and maybe others are closer to 12 or something like that, but they're always one of the best states for that. And it's just a growing sport. I think it's one of those things where, you know, there's not a lot of costs involved at an early age. You know, you don't have to be 6'2 to play to be good at it. You can be 5'5 or 6'2, you know. And so, you know, it's easy for guys to get together and play. It's, you know, all you need is a ball and a couple cones or a couple trash cans out in on the park. And, you know, it's just an easy sport to pick up. You're always moving and active. And so I think it's really trending to be really popular with the youth.
Okay. And before we let you go, how many games do you have left? And what do you want to see besides a win in the last games you have left?
Well, we play tomorrow at 3:00. Against Akron, and Akron University won the national title in 2010, and they're ranked number 2 or 3 in the country right now. So we play them at DeMartin Stadium at 3:00 tomorrow. DeMartin's obviously located right behind Chennison Fieldhouse, and then we travel down to that other place, Ann Arbor, on Saturday, and could be playing for a share of the Big Ten title or the Big Ten title outright, depending on how a couple of their games go. So those are our last two games, and they'll be very tough, but I think our team's ready.
Okay. Hey, Damon, always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And we'll get back to you again, and we'll be talking. The next time we'll talk, it'll be talking about the NCAA tournament and where you're seated.
That would be a great conversation, Earl. I appreciate you having me on.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Damon.
All right. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And that's Damon Rensing, the head coach of Michigan State soccer here on AM 870 and WKAR. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
From Hurricane Katrina to the election of Barack Obama to Trayvon Martin, in a new book, media critic Eric Deggans argues that cable news and many talking heads feed on a steady diet of fear and prejudice. He says now it's time for the audience to stop it. I'm Neil Conan, Race Baiter. Eric Deggans joins us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up at 3:00 right here on AM 870 WKAR.
A wind advisory is in effect until 8:00 tonight. Rain and snow likely with a high of 40 and winds gusting to 35 miles an hour. Tonight, windy with rain likely, the low 35. Cloudy with a good chance of rain tomorrow, the high 45. Mostly cloudy with a chance of rain Thursday, the high 48. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll-free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk at WKAR.com. michiganstate.org. Well, coming up this weekend, Michigan State plays Nebraska. Now, this is an interesting contest in that Michigan State has never beaten Nebraska in their history. They're like 7-0 against Nebraska. Nebraska's been, they've won every game. You know, even though every year is different, and you look back, though, when you look at those other years, and you say, wow, Michigan State has played well against Nebraska, but they've never won a game. So that's the challenge Michigan State has, taking down Nebraska for the first time. Whether it doesn't matter whether they're at home or on the road, when you haven't won before, I guess the players are looking a little bit for wanting to get a little revenge, a little satisfaction on beating Nebraska, a team that they've never beaten. I think they've only played Nebraska about 8 times in their history, so not a lot of games, not a lot to make a comparison. We also want to tell you that if you want a chance to win to the Michigan State home game, you can give us a call at 884-4870 if you want a chance to win tickets to Michigan State home football game, or if you want to win chance to win to the Spartan hockey game, call that same number, 517-884-4870, and you can win tickets to Michigan State hockey or Michigan State football. Once again, call 884-4870, or you can do that for hockey or for football. So give that number a call and register for your chance to win on either side of the ball, football or basketball. So we're looking for you to win some tickets right here on AM 870 WKAR. We give tickets away to all Michigan State home games, give you home football games, home hockey games. So we'll talk about either one. So you can have a chance, but you got to call and register if you have a chance, if you want a chance to win the hockey or the football. Give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. And, of course, we have we'll look at some of the other teams, what's going on around in the state and around the world right here on AM 870 as we look at all the teams. And we give you a chance to if you want to talk about the Tigers, the recently completed a World Series, or if you want to talk MSU football or Michigan football, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. But more importantly, though, we want you to spread the word around. Tell your friends and even your enemies that you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on WKAR. So just do that for us and give us a call to talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. When we look at, I'm just looking down the road here, and Chiefs, it looks like the Chiefs are going to be starting Sam Casales. He will start against San Diego after Brady Quinn took a blow in the lead of last week's game. So Romeo Crennel said Tuesday that doctors have not cleared him to be the starter, and Ricky Stanzi is the backup. So Cazale was the starter before he sustained his own concussion against the Ravens. So that's the one good thing. Coaches and players are starting to take more interest in their health, especially in the sport of football. It's always good when the doctors are erring on the side of caution. Didn't used to be that way. Long time ago, it was just get them back in the game. That's all that counted back in the day. Just get them back in the game. We want them out on the field. They can't make any plays. They can't help the team when they're on the sidelines. So I'm very happy that you know they are taking a lot more interest in the players' health these days. That's just something you can't mess around with a person's health, whether they're having concussion problems or whatever. You've got to take very good care of the players, and the players have to take a very good care of themselves. And if you're not feeling good, there's nothing wrong with saying you don't feel good enough to go back in the game. I know everyone wants to play. That's the stigma, that's the hook that all coaches get you at. They know how bad a lot of you want to play. But, if the coaches aren't watching out for you, you've got to watch out for yourself. So be careful. Youth out there, you got to take the proper precautions about yourself when you get ready for a football game. And other sports as well. You A lot of sports you can get dinged upside or hit upside the head, and you might have a concussion. So it's always good to figure out and find out where you're at, that's for sure. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And Aaron, we it looks like your Spartans there. They've got three tough games left. How do you see the Michigan State going in these last three games?
Yeah, I mean, well, first they got to get, through Nebraska. Well, luckily that's a home game. It's going to be a challenge for, against Nebraska. But, I think they can pull it off if they actually put a three quarters of a game like they did, their last drive there against Wisconsin. They have a good chance. Maxwell, he showed up. Yeah, he's getting better. So, if he can play more like that. Obviously Bell can show up any day, anytime. So, that would bode well. Northwestern is pretty good this year. So,
yes, they are.
Considering. That's going to be a challenge. Luckily, again, at home. Last game versus Minnesota.
That's a toughie.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it could be. But, Minnesota is it's hard to say. They're, overall 5-3, but they're only 1-3 in the conference. So, you never know with Minnesota, but I would expect that Michigan State would be able to win that. But if they could win all three, fantastic. But I expect probably two out of the three.
Yeah, I would say that. I have to agree with you. I think it'd be two out of the three. I think they're going to will probably lose in this first week to Northwestern. But I mean, excuse me, to Nebraska, and then they're really going to have a dogfight with Northwestern. That's going to be a heck of a game there. So they could lose to Northwestern as well, or they could win that one and win those last two games, and then they'd have a good chance to go to the Gator Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, if six is going to get them in, it's always on that borderline. Seven obviously will get them into some sort of bowl game, but if you can get eight wins, yeah, you're looking pretty good. So, I guess it kind of depends what Michigan does as well. So, because they're sitting at 5-3, luckily for Michigan State, if they beat Nebraska and Northwestern, that's going to, propel them over those guys and should put them at the top.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. And that's the thing. The only thing you control is how you play. So, when you lose, then you have to rely on what some other teams do. And that's what Michigan State is going to have to do, is just control the way they play and just continue to win and make strides and putting together a little winning streak and winning these last three games.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be easy by any means. And I think obviously the team has had its frustrations throughout the year. But I think the coaching staff has done a great job of just, keeping everyone composed, not freaking out or, trying different, completely changing the playbook or anything like that. They've just been sticking with the game plan because they understand it's a new team, it's new guys, it's going to take time. And, sure, maybe it's taken a little longer than they would have hoped, but they're getting there. And we saw it last week on the last drive. Everyone was just composed. Maxwell, I don't know if he was almost. I think he was almost perfect on that drive, And then he threw a great pass for the touchdown. So, everything's just coming together. And if they can just finish strong, it'll be a good season.
It will, and hopefully they can finish strong. I know people place so much emphasis on football and on having a winning team and a winning program, and unfortunately, Michigan State fans, well, I guess not unfortunate, but they were spoiled by the last 2 years. They've won a lot of games, won 11 games in a row, and that's never happened in Michigan State's entire history, back-to-back 11-win seasons. So that's made the fans feel real good about themselves and feel real good about them their team. But you can't expect that to happen each and every year since it had never happened before. And, Michigan State, they just showed what kind of team they could have and the kind of potential they have when winning those back-to-back 11 seasons. But they can do that year in and year out, can they?
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason that it's never been done before. It's difficult to do. I mean, usually if you're going to have a 11-game winning season – Usually you probably had a couple players that were pretty outstanding, in which Michigan State had last year. Does Michigan have some outstanding players this year? Sure. Bell, and that's about it. I mean, everyone else is real is good, but there's no one that just, you know, is sort of over the top that's just going to make you stand out. Everyone's really good, and they're finally coming together as a team, but, you know, they don't have anyone, unlike last year, that, you know, just kind of they basically lost their wide receiving core, and that was a huge part of the offense last year. And then you lost your leadership in Cousins. So, you know, it's just going to take time. And so, you know, the fact that they don't get to 11 wins this year, that's fine. But you know what? If they can pull out the last three, I would say it's still a good season.
Okay. Now, what about when you look at the team, do you expect now, for you, what are you going to go to the basketball game, or are you going to start looking at the Spartan basketball team, or how do you plan on handling that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's, I think, what, two expedition games, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yep.
So, you know, those two, I'm not really, you know, it's more for the coaching staff than anyone else. It's, you know, I guess it'll be nice. It's just to kind of see how, you know, some of the players playing the court, kind of see them for the first time in live action. I'm not looking for a whole lot during those two games, but then, you know, once they start the season, yeah, then I'll start sort of paying attention. You know, football's only got a couple games left, but football and basketball at the same time, I think that's a good mix. Yeah,
football, basketball at the same time, and we've got the hockey going too. So that's the thing. Fall is always a great time because we have all the different sports going on, and you can focus in on whichever one you like. I know you like hockey as well. That's going to be starting up real soon, or you know we have giving away the tickets this weekend to the Spartans home games. So you know a lot of people like all those sports, but unfortunately, if you got to choose between the three, which one would you choose?
Oh wow. I'm going to go with basketball. You know, there just seems to be more, I don't know, there's just more. Even though I've played hockey and I love the game of hockey, I would think I just have to go with basketball. It just seems more exciting at the college level. Not that hockey isn't, but you know, for whatever reason, I think I just enjoy watching basketball more.
Yeah. Now, when you look at hockey and the rules in college hockey are different from the rules in the NHL. How different are they, and which game are you more attracted to?
That's a good question. I actually prefer the NHL over college hockey. It's, you know, obviously the players are better in the NHL. You know, obviously that's always going to be the case, you know, when you go from college to pro. But, you know, there's also, I think, for whatever reason, the pros, you know, there's still that grit. There's still that sort of toughness that, you know, sometimes you kind of lose in a professional atmosphere. You know, you definitely see it in the college world, but maybe you can correct me on this, but in college, I don't think you can. Can you fight in college? I forget.
No, you can't fight.
You get kicked out. You know, and I'm saying that's the only reason, you know, that I like the pros. But, you know, there's still that grittiness to the pros that I like. You know, people, you know, going after each other, you know, doing things that sometimes you just amaze you, as we've seen in Detroit with Datsyuk and Zetterberg. So, you know, I just like the pro game better overall. Unfortunately, this year doesn't look like there's going to be a season. So, you know, the college team is still good.
Yep. I swear I hate to think we might lose a whole season of the pro game. I like you. I like the pro game a lot better too than college game. But I just wish they could settle it and you know, so we could get down to having some real hockey going on. Unfortunately, like you say, it's a good chance they might be out for the whole year. I wonder how much will that impact if they have another year of work stoppage. I know the owners are definitely trying. They want to change how the game is played and how it forks over, because they don't have one of those national television contracts like football has, or baseball has some contracts. But you know, it's really going to be a tough one, and we'll have to see how good they are and how good the how much will that the strike hurt or the lockout hurt professional hockey? You know, if it lasts all year long, would you think the people would be coming back next year if it lasts all long all this year?
You mean as far as like the players?
The fans, would they come back the game?
Yeah, I mean, there's always been that talk of, oh, you know what, let's tell them and not show up to the games next year. Yeah, right, yeah. I mean, that never. It's like, hey, everyone, let's not buy gas for one day, and then it'll somehow magically go down to, you know, down to a dollar. People's got to get to work. I mean, that's not going to happen. So fans are going to show up next year regardless. What they will do, though, is they every time they see Bettman, they will boo him like they've been doing for years. And the fact that you've had a lockout, what was it, 04, 05, yeah. 03, 04, I forget the year exactly. And now this, I mean, 7 years later, or 8 years later, having another one? I mean, come on. And you consider yourself a professional organization? No, that doesn't happen. I mean, the fact that your leader is the one that's, you know, basically, I mean, he's the main guy behind it. He's the leader. He's the voice and face of the hockey. So the fact that, you know, he needs to go, and I think a lot of that would, you know, fix the problems. Obviously, no one has any respect for him as far as from a fan standpoint. I don't. You know, maybe that's part of the solution, but we all know that that's not going to happen anytime soon unless, it, you know, David Stern, I believe, he's stepping down from the NBA.
Yes, but maybe years.
Yep, mm-hmm. Maybe Bettman can do the same thing and follow in his footsteps. But, you know, I can only hope, so.
You know, that thing with the commissioners, it seems like all the commissioners in every sport are disliked. Even if they have a lot of success, they're still disliked, aren't they?
Yeah, I suppose. But sure, it's a tough job. I'm not going to say it's an easy job. I wouldn't want to be in their shoes for sure. But there's a lot of things that, they're going to do wrong. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to get criticized for it. That's just the way the media is nowadays. But, you know, as far as Bettman's case, there's so many things. His list of things he's done wrong is heck of a lot bigger than things he's done right. So, and a lot of this stuff is just unwarranted stuff he's done. And his demeanor and the way he says things, he goes about his business, just isn't a, you know, a very good way to go about it from a professional standpoint.
Yes, and we know with the fans out there, you know, they don't care about all the things that are going on, the squabbles in between players and the union and the players and the team. They have their squabbles with management, and that's all they look at. And so when you look at the squabbles that they have with management, you know, can they get the media and everyone on their side? I mean, in hockey, they might be able to do that. Do you think the players can get all the sentiment on their side with the owners causing the lockout?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible, but I mean, I don't know if that's going to do anything to solve the lockout. You know, it's just in the nature of the business. I mean, you know, one side wants one thing, the other side wants another thing, and like you said earlier, hockey doesn't have a sort of a huge TV national, you know, over-the-air broadcast TV contract they have. I believe now with the is it the NBC, you know, sports network or whatever it is. But, you know, that's not drawn in the numbers, probably, you know, as some of the other major sports. So, I mean, there's a lots to it, but, you know, hopefully they can get it worked out and they can get hockey back to where it should be.
Yeah, let's hope they can. I mean, we hope to have a hockey season, that's for sure. Hopefully we'll be able to enjoy and watch some of the pro hockey when it starts. Hopefully it will be starting soon. Hey, we want to thank you all for listening. Thank you for calling today and invite you to come back and join us tomorrow. You can give us a call right here on AM 870 WKAR and talk sports with us. We'll have several guests for you tomorrow. And so we look to hearing from you tomorrow right here on AM 870. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870, WKAR, East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday, 1:05 to 2 o'clock, right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up, talk sports with us right here on AM 870, WKAR, East Lansing. Have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening. We look forward to hearing from you tomorrow, right here on WKAR.
From Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.